because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call
the
me Papa Bear.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served...
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through...
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988. Then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Opt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said, sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your
Ethel,
turn.
Calm down!
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boom boom. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
What would it take, just stay with me for a minute, what would it take for Robin Voss to actually pay some kind of political price? 844-967-2789. And I wish I could say this was my smart question that was pointed out, but this actually comes from Michael Bradley, who's a great follow on Twitter. He talks a lot about Milwaukee, talks a lot about cities, but he made this point last night on the heels of Robin Voss basically just drawing the line yesterday, saying if Governor Evers does not accept the shared revenue bill as it is, we'll just cut everything, all of the Milwaukee provisions out of it and move forward. So just the threat of we will let our biggest city fail. I don't care. Gun to your head. Take it or leave it. And so we'll get to that in a second as far as I don't know what option Evers has at this point. But it's just when you think about the political creature that Robin Voss is and how he's stayed in office. And I don't even just mean the gerrymandered maps, because yes, he is protected as so many of the other legislators and lawmakers are in their districts because of gerrymandering. But think about some of the things that he's done. The fact that he had an affair with a fellow assembly person who he's now married to.
That's when she's number three.
And she's his third wife.
Yep.
But she was basically worked for him because he was speaker and she was an assembly person. So the fact that they had an affair and he paid no political price for that amongst conservatives. He also orchestrated the Foxconn deal in his own district and played no political price for that.
Boondoggle.
And Michael Bradley makes this point, and it's a great one. If you were a Hollywood screenwriter and were like, hey, three times married, hush money to second wife, third wife is a political consultant, his businesses are slum properties, car washes, popcorn factory that runs on prison labor, studio execs would be like, nah, two on the nose. No one would believe that. We need a little bit more depth and range to that character. And yet this is real. This is real. This is our shadow governor. And proving once again, flexing the power that he has yesterday in that we're going to screw over Milwaukee. It's our way or no way.
All about local control, you know, Kristen.
So I guess my question is, what would it actually take for Robin Voss to pay some kind of political price until he just decides to step down? and retire on his terms. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because, you know, we can't, all of us who are outside of his district can't do anything about it. They almost did, his district almost did something about it when Adam Steen ran against him in the primary.
That must have given him a, ooh, that was close.
But that would only make him go further right, right? Because Adam Steen was not...
Moderate?
No. And it is just amazing when you read off some of the things that he's done and how he plays this game, that he's our longest standing speaker. He continues to get, you know, the 16,000 votes, so the 0.02% of Wisconsin's population that keeps him in office, and yet he has this much outsized power.
And we're all beholden to him.
To truly, potentially, ruin Milwaukee. And it's not like it got to this point, right? Like, when we talk about the shared revenue deal, and it's complicated. I was trying to reread things this morning of like, how can I summarize this? And like, it is a behemoth tax, not only for like people like Allison Durr at the Journal Sentinel, who has been painstakingly tracking this and trying to be thorough, but it is only weeds.
Yeah.
Right? There is no like trying to actually get through this. But, and that's part of the problem, is it is such a complicated, important issue that to the layperson, your eyes glaze over. But truly, we talk about this with so many different parts of Wisconsin's funding. And it's the shared revenue, as far as for municipalities all across the state, that have been, it's an outdated, broken model that has been stagnant for 20, 25 years. And that's not even, so it's the same amount of money, despite inflation and rising costs and the fact that cities can't pay for things. And Milwaukee isn't included in that. And they've been talking about the sales tax since before I moved back. And now it's to the point where the big pushing point, like the big sticking point right now, is the fact that should this go to a referendum for voters to vote on, which would cost a lot of more money that Milwaukee doesn't have to try to have an informational campaign to try to appeal to voters to vote in their own interest to raise their own taxes, or it would go to the county board. So that's a big sticking point. But the thing is like, it also comes with all of these stipulations and what that money can even be spent for and spent on. And it's just like, who gains from this? Like, what does the state actually gain from letting Milwaukee fail? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
We have David on the phone from Mequon joining us. Hey, David, what do you think?
Good morning. So I was discussing this a little bit with Earl before your show. And, you know, I'm a native Wisconsinite, and I have watched many years. You know, Milwaukee, I made the argument that Milwaukee's been shrinking in population since 1960, which is well before I was even born, even thought of. And what you have here, you have something is not adding up quite right. And what I mean by this is the city of Milwaukee recently proposed spending $15 million on a park on basically Martin Luther King and Wisconsin Avenue across from the convention center. You have the trolley, which was supposed to collect revenue initially and doesn't even have a fare box. That is a money loser. And you have the city losing money on that. You also have the fact that the county has not been willing to potentially sell, and I mentioned this earlier, the Milwaukee County Zoo is a revenue generator. And if the county were to potentially sell the zoo and it would go privately, there would be a huge nest egg for the county to work with cash-wise. Sometimes you have to, especially with the shrinking population, you have to, this is where the management of, you know, budgeting and everything else comes into play. And keep in mind, you know, everyone's been rallying against Act 10. Well, Act 10 obviously did leave the police and fire pensions out of the equation. There's obviously reasons for that, and that's very political. But at the end of the day, it also did help correct with NPS and some other governmental bodies as far as getting that together. And the reason why I say this is if we look to our neighbors to our south in Chicago, they have over 10% sales tax, and they're still broke. They've sold their parking meters, their tollways, everything else, all because their pension is so out of whack down there that they're basically auctioning off everything. And Milwaukee now is kind of facing that same situation. And I don't have a problem with people voting for an increase in taxes. I do think they have that right to do that. But at the end of the day, the city, you know, here they're talking about building a brand new public museum. They're digging, what is it, $300 million?
I guess, Dave,
so
just because
the county is really,
so what if you have to summarize what your point is? So are you saying that they shouldn't, that this is a good deal because Milwaukee just has to get their budget in order and, you know, all of the other things and the services that are going to be cut, like that's just part of the budgeting process?
Listen, it's better than nothing. They're going to get an increase from the state of 10% or more. And they would have, there's an opportunity for the county and for the city to raise their sales tax. I also mentioned to Earl as well, Minneapolis just did this recently, where everything is delivered by Amazon or UPS or what have you these days. And they put a tax on the packages that are like over $100 of like 50 cents per package. And that is going to be dedicated towards, you know, helping fix the roads in the Twin Cities. And so there are ways of raising additional revenue. And keep in mind, like I said, there's assets the county has that they could potentially sell off. I don't think the county should be building a brand new facility to replace the domes. I think that's a huge...
Dave, we got another caller, so I'm going to cut you off. But I think what I'm hearing from you is that you think there's more creative ways that the city and the county can be doing, get like raising revenue than what they've explored so far. So thank you so much for the call, Dave.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Tom from West Dallas. Tom, you only got about a minute. What do you want to say?
Well, then I'll make it really quick. What he is saying, what Dave was just saying is, the way I see it is that Milwaukee makes investments. Look at downtown. In the last 10 years, how much has this city grown? We got these big companies coming in. Fiserv is building. Northwest Mutual is doing things. Everyone, you know, there's companies doing stuff. And that park that he's talking about there on 3rd in Wisconsin, yeah, something should happen there. I mean, we got to invest into the city. That's why I do not understand what the Republicans are doing as far as not investing in
the
city.
I totally agree, Tom. And so we have to go to break, unfortunately, but if you want to stay on the line and come back, we can keep you and bring you back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain.
Welcome back to Match Win Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling us from my day, Jean.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for the great show as usual. It's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you.
You know, this is what stumps me. Throughout Trump's time, you know, as president, we heard numerous departmental staff very frustrated with Trump, because he didn't like to read documents. He didn't like to read reports. They had to make them as simple as possible to keep his attention. But he really didn't have an interest in going through those things. So why in the devil did he want to keep them when he didn't have an interest throughout the thing? And there is proof and evidence throughout, because many of his staff was interviewed and the frustrations they had trying to get his attention to these issues. And even, I think, the military. So I just want to bring that up, and inquiring minds would like to know that one. Hey, Matt, thank you, and you have a good day.
Thank you, Jean. You know, that's a great, great call. That had not occurred to me. One of the things I love about the calls on the show, because this show is half about the calls or more, and people come up with insights, because all the callers, all the listeners are a lot smarter than any host. They really are. You really are. And I'll pose that question. This guy wouldn't read this stuff. If you sent him something that said, these are our contingency plans for attacking Iran, he'd yawn. He'd yawn. He'd throw it in his drawer and whatever. So why did he take all this stuff? But more important, some of this stuff ends up classified in boxes that are moved. And yet, he was asked to give them back. All he had to do was give them back. That's all he had to do. He deliberately loaded them on a plane to avoid a subpoena and a search warrant. That is the crime. We're going to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
2 points, Matt. First of all, I mentioned this to Dan O'Donnell and his head exploded. I said, I can't believe the Republicans, the best they can find is a career criminal. And he said, oh, he's not a career criminal. I said, are you kidding me? Everybody in the country knew his lack of integrity. And when he got in, of course we had to get him out of there. To begin with, well, Donald couldn't see it. You know, he lives in La La Land. But my next point is, I can't believe our country cannot censor Jim Jordan and his fake investigations for this reason. Jim Jordan took an oath of office to protect our country from foreign and domestic terrorism. He failed. He supported it. We know that. There's a subpoena hanging over his head. How can people with a straight face, listening to these kangaroo courts of investigation they have, running up tabs of millions of dollars taxpayers are supposed to pay for these scams, these smoke operations, cannot Biden or Congress and the Senate issue an order that, what do they call that, where they are not allowed to speak, that censor, to allow that to be censored? How do we allow these fake investigations to come up? The criminals are basically holding America hostage. What do you think, Matt? Is there a formal way of stopping that quickly?
Yes, there is, but you can't. It's hard. I mean, it's not going to be done when the Republicans control the House. A censure resolution. It's very funny that you brought that up, because you're not going to believe this. Matt Gaetz just introduced a resolution to censure Benny Thompson, the head of the January 6th committee, the chairman, and to remove him from the Homeland Security Commission committee, which is what he's the ranking member of, because this motion is coming out of the subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government that Gaetz is sitting on. And he alleges that what Benny did as the chairman of the January 6th committee was wrong and bad. You know, to your point, so how do we censure Jim Jordan, who should be censured? He blew off a subpoena. You can't do that. You can't do that. the remedy for that normally is they would send it to the Justice Department. They prosecute them. Well, they don't want to prosecute a congressman. So he blows it off. Now he has issued subpoenas to Biden, who's not going to respond. And suddenly he's making a big deal of it. Jim Jordan is corrupt. He's his bad man. He's a very, very bad man. Gymnasium Jim, GYM Jordan. But first of all, the censure resolution has to come through the House. Kevin McCarthy right now, we're going to talk about this in an upcoming segment, is getting mercilessly attacked by about 11 members of the Freedom Caucus. And he's very afraid that they will bring a motion for the vacancy of the chair. Now, normally, before he made his sniveling deals after, 15 ballots to become speaker, that would have taken like 20% of the House or 30% of the House to say, we want a new vote on a speaker. He had to give in and say any one of them could do it. Lauren Boebert can do it. Matt Gaetz can do it. Marjorie Taylor Greene can do it. Paul Gosar can do it. Any sociopath and idiot and corrupt individual in their caucus can do it. Okay? So if he brought a resolution or permitted it to go to the floor to censure Jim Jordan, a guy that he put in as chairman of this weaponization committee, he'd be toast. So as long as there is split government, as long as the Republicans have it, they're going to bring censure resolutions. In this case, Matt Gaetz against poor Benny Thompson. Benny's a good man. Benny did a good job, and he held the fort, and he got some very, very good testimony, which a lot of the prosecutors have really benefited from. But to your point, you're absolutely right. Biden can't bring it. Biden can't bring a censure resolution against a member of Congress. But the Congress can do it, but there is no way that it'll pass the House, and in the Senate, they'll filibuster it. It'll take 10 Republican votes. Thanks for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Macklin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go to the Supreme Court, and there was an astonishing decision that came down, and I want to give you the real background on it. By 5-4, the Supreme Court struck down Alabama's congressional maps under the Voting Rights Act, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Alabama had gerrymandered them so bad that there would be only one congressional district under their map that had an African-American black majority. It denied 25% of the state's electorate the right to equal opportunity to vote for a candidate of their choice, essentially. Now, remember something. A corrupt Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, by on 5-4 decisions, he cast the deciding vote on three cases that have gone a long way to slowly destroy American democracy. One of them was the Shelby County case. It was about 15 years ago that threw out most of the Voting Rights Act. He threw it out, Clarence Thomas, 5-4. He was 5-4, the majority vote, Citizens United, that let dark money, black ops invade our politics, even though there've been 100 years of Supreme Court precedent, stare decisis, and congressional action going the other way. And he also was the one back in the early days, was the 5-4 decision on other corrupt decisions that started to strip away our democracy. Well, this is one of the few provisions left in the Voting Rights Act. And remember, they are considering the case of Moore v. Harper, the independent legislature theory, where they are expected to say that the legislatures can do whatever they want in redistricting and anything else, and the governor can't veto it. They're sticking their nose into state politics. They have no business doing that. And state Supreme Courts can't reverse it, even if it's in violation of the state constitution. Well, what happened this time? 5-4, suddenly they strike down Alabama's maps. 5-4, because two of them got scared, because the uproar over the Dobbs case, Clarence Thomas, you know, frankly, Gorsuch, frankly, Roberts taking money, frankly, Kavanaugh and the others, Mayor Amy Comey Barrett, especially getting in there during lame duck when Biden should have had that appointment and he would have proposed Merrick Garland the way Obama did before him. Who were the two who got scared? Roberts and Kavanaugh. Roberts and Kavanaugh, John Roberts, the Chief Justice, wrote the opinion, and Kavanaugh, and then the three liberal justices, 5-4, said that the Voting Rights Act, which they essentially virtually eliminated back in the Shelby County case, that somehow that said, the Article 2, that Alabama can't do this. And the thing that really, really bugged me is Kavanaugh, in his concurring opinion, said that stare decisis required this opinion. Stare decisis is a Latin term that means it stands decided. It means that the Supreme Court rules a certain way in a constitutional issue. In general, that should be respected going forward. Well, how about the Dobbs case? The Dobbs case was stare decisis on steroids on Roe v. Wade. In fact, when Kavanaugh was confirmed, they asked him about that. Would you overturn Roe v. Wade? And he said, he was real weaselly about it, but he said, well, it's not only stare decisis, it's double stare decisis, because it was initially upheld in Roe v. Wade, and then the Casey case, it was a Pennsylvania versus Casey, that case upheld again. So suddenly, he turns around, sticks a knife in stare decisis and Dobbs, and now suddenly he's going, I'm Mr. Stare Decisis. What's going on? Then I'll go to the lines. Do not hang up. What's going on is you have some scared Supreme Court justices, like the Supreme Court in 1935, when Roosevelt passed Social Security. And the clowns on the Supreme Court then, who were also tarantulas, said, well, that's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional to require payments under Social Security. Roosevelt said, oh, yeah? I'm going to appoint 7 new justices. They're all going to be Democrats, and they'll uphold it. And the Supreme Court, they got scared. They liked their perks. They liked their prestige, and one of them caved in 5-4. They upheld Social Security. It was only one vote, by the way. The 1935 Social Security Act upheld by one vote. I think Roberts and Kavanaugh have gotten scared. People put up with so much, and then they don't put up with any more. And right now, you have a Supreme Court that historically had high approval ratings. Now they're in the toilet. And after Dobbs, after Citizens United, after Shelby County, after getting rid of the Voting Rights Act, after getting rid of any safeguards on money coming in, dark money, black ops, enemies of the United States pumping money into our elections. People have had enough. And then they see that Clarence Thomas is on the take. Roberts took money. This one took money. That they're not going to put up with that. And if they don't have the confidence of the people in this country, they ain't lasting. We have time for a quick call. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Oh, good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I think you're 100% correct. They're reading the tea leaves. The American public is set up for their rulings. And this does give me some hope that the state of Wisconsin, what the Supreme Court did several months ago, they may turn this around when Judge Janet takes the case for new lines, new maps. Is there any? Do you feel like you have hope like that or not? Thanks.
Yeah, I have tremendous hope like that. I know Judge Janet. I was a law school classmate of her husband, and she's a friend of mine, and he's a friend of mine, and she's top notch. She's already said, bring it on. I think that redistricting is unconstitutional right now. Bring it on. Here's the problem, Paul. She gets sworn in, I think it's August 2nd, whatever the first workday in August is. That's 2 months. And they have 3 election deniers on the Supreme Court right now. Our only hope for the next 2 months is Hagedorn, who's shown a lot of integrity in standing up for the Constitution. But the 3 people who wouldn't certify Joe Biden are still on the court for 2 months. What I'm afraid is what they will be up to. After that, I have great confidence in Judge Janet and the other justices that are, I think, will do the right thing. Coming to the end of the show, great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn, direct, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Great show, Matt.
Yeah, good work. Thank you, Calvin. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, see you tomorrow.
All right, take care.
Financial strategy includes your hopes and dreams. What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors.
We bleed green and gold. And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in Los Angeles. The main suspect in the Natalie Holloway disappearance case, Joran Vandersloot, is back on U.S. soil after he was extradited from Peru. CBS's Lana Zak.
Here in the U.S., Vandersloot is set to face federal charges of extortion and wire fraud. He's accused of trying to make money off of his connection to the unsolved 2005 Holloway case.
The unhealthy air that's descended on the East is worrying parents like Ray L. Vincent, who lives in Montclair, New Jersey.
I hope it clears up soon. And I do think it's probably wise to just let the kids stay inside a couple, you know, until it clears up.
The smoke from wildfires in Canada is also affecting travel.
Dana Lyle's flight from Greensboro, North Carolina to LaGuardia Airport in New York City was delayed an hour as the FAA slowed flights because of dense smoke and haze on the East Coast. She had to wait for her connecting flight to Ohio as well.
Of course, we can still smell the smoke inside of LaGuardia. I'm sitting inside of an airport lounge right now looking outside of the window. We can barely see the planes taxiing to the runway.
The FAA says the smoke and haze will continue affecting operations at several airports in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and Southeast.
CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reporting. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts sided with black voters in an Alabama redistricting case, surprising legal analysts, including CBS's Jessica Levinson.
What he really said today is that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act that guards against vote dilution, among other things, on the basis of race, still has teeth. That still has a place in our country.
The governor of California wants to amend the Constitution. KCBS reporter Matt Bigler explains why.
Support the 28th.
Governor Newsom says a 28th Amendment to the Constitution would end America's gun crisis by putting limits on the Second Amendment, including a ban on assault weapons and raising the age to buy guns to 21.
Because if you can't buy a beer, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun.
But political analyst Larry Gersten says the amendment is a long shot.
There have been 11,000 proposed constitutional amendments since 1789. Of those, only 27 have become law.
Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
Southern Ukraine is flooding for a third day. CBS's Deborah Pata has more.
Misery upon misery for the people of Kherson. They wade through the deluge, clutching their possessions, using whatever they can to stay afloat. While stranded animals gather on what little high ground they can find.
On Wall Street, the closing bell just rang and the markets posted gains. The Dow added 168 points. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations.
ABC News.